Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. We're continuing in the Beatitudes. I hope you're not getting tired of this yet or think it's moving too slow. I think the Word of God, when we study it, it deserves our a serious study, not just to hurry through it. And so this morning we're going to talk about mercy. The text is out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Father, we thank you so much for your word that you have left here for us to read at our leisure. You have left here to teach us, to warn us, to encourage us. And I just pray this morning that as we discuss this verse here, Lord, that you will open our hearts, open our minds to understand and receive this, the truth that you have for each and every person here. I just pray that everything that's said here this morning will be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When Israel had sinned against God with the golden calf, God was furious, and a lot of them died. If you remember Moses, when he come down from the mountain, he was furious. He broke the stone tablets. He told the Levites that said they were on his side. He said, put your sword on and go in and out among that multitude and kill people. And I believe they killed the instigators. And God was furious. And he told Moses, I'm going to send an angel with you, but I'm not going to go with you. He said, this is a stiff-necked people, and I will end up killing every one of them. So God was not happy about this golden calf. And we find in Exodus 33, Moses pled with God to forgive him. And originally he just said, forgive all of them. And God said, I will forgive the ones I choose to forgive. And Moses said, then if you won't forgive them, take my name out of your book. He got pretty bold about it. Moses said, if you're not going, I'm not going. There's a good lesson in that for preachers and teachers that when we consider ministries or outreaches, that ought to be our attitude. Now, if you're not in this, we're not doing it. And Moses just said, if you're not going to be in this, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any more to do with this. Well, as he was talking to God, he asked God to show him his glory. I touched on this last week. And God replied to Moses, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. There is a place by where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. And at the appointed time, the scriptures say that the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God of mercy and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped and said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. So when God revealed himself to Moses, he said, I am a merciful God. I am a the God of steadfast love. I'm a God who forgives sin. I forgive iniquity. I forgive transgressions. But he also revealed the justice side of himself and said, but I do not clear the guilty. I will visit sins on the people. And of course, he was talking about the continuing sin maybe in a family. He said, I'll visit that upon them to the third or fourth generation. He's talking about the unrepentant. But God revealed his mercy and his justice, and Moses asked for mercy. And God said, yeah, okay, I'm going to go with you. You know, God said, you have found favor in my sight, so I will go with you. And as I said last week, I think that changed Moses, changed his attitude. When he came down off the mountain, I think Moses realized, I'm not going to be in this alone. Now I'm ready. Let's go. Adam Clark defines mercy. He writes, mercy among the Jews signified two things, the pardon of injuries and almsgiving. We're going to focus today on the mercy of forgiveness. Barnes wrote, nowhere do we imitate God more than showing mercy. You remember, we've talked about this all through this text. Jesus is not talking to pagans. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to God's people. They are in a covenant relationship with God. They've been delivered the law of Moses. He is the promised Messiah. A lot of them didn't recognize that. But he is expounding on the law and on what the prophets taught. So he is talking to God's people about what attitude you're supposed to have as sons and daughters of God. And that's how the church should accept this today. One of my professors called it the be of this attitude. Is how he read that. He said, this isn't a suggestion. The Lord was saying, this is the kind of person God expects you to be. And you're blessed if you are this kind of person. As I said, Barnes said, nowhere do we imitate God more than in the showing of mercy. Jesus said, if we wish to be forgiven by God, we must be willing to forgive those who wrong or injure us. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he said, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. That's cut and dried, as far as I'm concerned. In that chapter, part of the book of Matthew, he was talking about prayer. And he gave what we call the Lord's Prayer as a model of prayer. And in that prayer, he says, forgive us for our sins. And I've read that the literal Greek, he says, in exactly the same way we forgive others. So we're inviting God to forgive us with the same forgiveness that we show to other people. I hope you do a little better than that sometimes, Lord. I have felt like that. Well, could you be a little more forgiving? And Jesus said to God's people, if you're unwilling to forgive, God won't forgive you. Now, I didn't pull that out of the air. It's out of the scriptures. Well, that's hard. That's hard to forgive. I've had many people over the years that I've talked with who are struggling with issues of anger and resentment against people, and they just quite honestly say, Rick, it's hard. It's hard to forgive this. And in that passage I read you, it didn't say anything about easy. The Lord didn't say, just forgive, it's easy. That's not what he says. Forgiveness is a choice of your will and my will. We're commanded to do it, and then you and I have to will to do it. He said in Luke 17, pay attention to yourselves. He was talking to his disciples. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, there's something I want to point out really quickly in this text. Sometimes we think if we forgive someone, we have to say that whatever they did was okay. And I've had people say that, you know. Well, I feel like if somebody comes, or if I want to forgive somebody, I'm just airing off what they did. I'm saying it's okay. I've heard people, you know, somebody come up and say, I wronged you, I'm sorry. And they go, oh, that's okay. You don't mean it, because it's not okay. You know, Jesus points out here, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. It's okay to say, that was wrong. You shouldn't treat me like this. You shouldn't have said this. You shouldn't have acted like this. Jesus said it's okay to rebuke him. But I remember that one of the first times I read this, I thought, good night, if he does it seven times in a day. I don't think I've ever had anybody do that to me seven times in one day. And Jesus used that example, said if he does it seven times and says, I repent, then forgive him. Now, for me, that's easier in the sense that Jesus says, if he says, I repent, or if she says, I repent, it's easier for me if somebody offends me or wrongs me or insults me. It's a lot easier for me to let it go if they come to me and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I said this and I hurt you. I said this or I did this and I hurt you. Please forgive me. That's easier for me to let go of that. Oh, okay, well, they're sorry. But what do we do about the people that don't come to us? There may be people in your life who have hurt you and they don't even know it. And you can think, well, I'll just give them the silent treatment, and they don't even really know you're giving them silent treatment. You know, it's just not that big of a deal to them. They may have a flippant attitude. How do you forgive that? That's where we have the problem. We tend to gather IOUs. So-and-so hurt me. So I got this IOU that I carry up here. They hurt me, and I'm going to hold it over them. They hurt me, and I'm not going to let it go. You play it over and over and over. You know, one way that you can tell if you're dealing with an unforgiving spirit, you or I, if somebody mentions that person's name, you get angry or resentful, or you keep having these thoughts come up. As I say, you go back to the incident and you get mad all over again. Now, admittedly, that is hard to forgive. Or have you ever went to someone maybe and said, hey, you did this or said this and hurt my feelings, and have them mock you? Men are bad about that. Oh, poor baby, you just need to grow up. Or somebody go, well, I don't think what I did was wrong. How do you let that go? You know, like as I said in that previous verse, Jesus said, if your brother sins and you rebuke him and he says, I'm sorry, forgive him, that's easier for me. You need to acknowledge that you wronged me. Well, I wronged you. Okay. Now I'm ready to forgive. What about the people, as I said, that have wronged you, hurt you, injured you, and they've never said, I'm sorry? They wouldn't admit they were wrong if you held a gun to their head. Are we to forgive that? Jesus didn't put stipulations on it. He didn't say only if they say they're sorry, then you forgive them. To me, he answered that question on the cross. When you think about this, Jesus had been abused and tortured and nailed to that tree, and they were laughing at him. Most of the crowd was mocking him, saying, "Why don't you come down? You saved others, save yourself." The Jewish leader said, "Look, just come down and we'll believe you." And they mocked him. And I read one account that said people were allowed to throw pebbles at you when you was hanging on that cross. Sometimes the Romans would allow you to take a short stick and walk up and jab them, just to irritate them, to aggravate them when they're hanging there. And what our Lord say? "Father, please forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." That shows me he had already chosen to forgive. Nobody there was saying, "Boy, we're sure sorry we put you in this position. You know, maybe we're wrong. I'm sorry that I drove those nails in your hands and feet." They didn't say any of that. And Jesus chose to say, "Father, forgive them." Another example out of the scriptures that's always stood out to me, Stephen, the deacon, one of the first deacons in the church of Jerusalem, was stoned. Not, but stoned with real rocks for preaching. That's all he did. He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Jewish Sanhedrin, and they said, you're blaspheming, and they took him out of the city, and they began to stone him to death. You remember what Stephen did? It said he knelt on the ground, and he said, "Father, don't lay this sin against their charge." He couldn't have prayed that if he hadn't have forgiven them. People were bouncing rocks off of him, breaking bones and skin. And before he died, he said, "Don't lay this to their charge. God, don't charge them with this sin." When Jesus talks about showing mercy and about showing forgiveness, the word forgiveness means to release, to pardon. So he's not saying you have to say it's okay. You know, I've said before, if I'm a Christian businessman and I cheat you in a business deal, and maybe I come to you and say, "You know, I didn't deal with you honestly and I make it right," the Lord says, "Forgive me." But he doesn't say you have to do business with me anymore. I had a young lady one time very upset. Not a young lady, older woman. But I believe she was sharing some of her past with me without realizing it. And we were in a Sunday school class talking about forgiveness. And she goes, "If a 12-year-old girl's father rapes her, are you going to tell her that she has to forgive?" I said, "No, I'm going to tell her the Lord said she needs to forgive." "Oh, then I suppose you would put her right back in that home." I said, "No, I wouldn't personally." And I think she's the one that happened to. I just had that feeling. I said, "It's not all right." But what happens when we hold on to unforgiveness? The Bible says we become bitter. We become resentful. Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews, a root of bitterness can spring up in you and it will defile you. Jesus just got done, I just got done reading. Jesus said, if you're unwilling to forgive somebody, you can't be forgiven. So forgiveness is not just for the benefit of the party that offended you, it's for your benefit. You're not going to grow spiritually. I've seen people in the very heart of bitterness, very root of it, and they wonder why they're not growing spiritually. Why am I having such trouble? Why am I struggling? Because you have unforgiveness in your heart. When we have unforgiveness in our heart, we're sinning against God. Flat out. I read to you God's statement to Moses, God said, I'm very merciful. I forgive sins. I pardon iniquity. You know, Paul said in Ephesians, in the church, be tenderhearted towards one another, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Think about that. God's holy. There's no sin in him. Sin offends God. He hates it. Any adjective you can think of to describe the ill effects of sin to God, that's how he feels. He detests it. But when we turn to him in repentance and brokenness and say, Father, God, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. He's willing to forgive. That's what he told Moses. I'll forgive. But how is it that we who claim to be his children can be unforgiving? How can we deny the forgiveness that we've been shown? It's like we're saying to God, I deserve to be forgiven. But he doesn't. I remember a lady, I was having a Bible study with her and her husband, and she shared with me that her dad was a drunkard, and a mean drunkard. And she hadn't come to Christ, but she was asking me about coming to the Lord, to becoming a Christian. And she said one night her dad got drunk and shoved her mother, and she hit her head on a table and it killed her. And she said, the reason I don't become a Christian is because I would have to forgive that. I said, no, that's not the condition of you coming to Christ. God's not going to say, first you forgive everybody, then I'll forgive you. I said, if you come to Christ, genuinely come to Christ, he promises to forgive you. But I said, once you come to Christ, then he's going to say, okay, now you need to start forgiving. And she said, I won't do it. I said, okay. Well, a few weeks later, she came to Christ. A couple weeks after that, her and her husband showed up at the house, and she was just beaming. And she said, I called my dad today, hadn't spoken to him in over 20 years, and said, Daddy, I forgive you. And she said her dad broke down and wept, and she hadn't seen him in years. And he said, honey, I quit drinking a long time ago. I'm so sorry for what happened. I didn't mean to do that. And she said, the release I felt within me. When you and I say, I forgive you, we're releasing that person. We're not holding it over them. We're saying, I let go all claims I have against this person. I give up my right to be angry. I give up my right to resent this person. I give up my right to hold us over them. Is it easy? No. It's not always easy. I have three suggestions wrote down that work for me. I'll say it that way. The first thing you need to do is pray and confess your unwillingness to forgive. Be honest with God. God knows your heart. Don't try to tap dance around it. Don't try to justify it. I've done it. Well, God, you don't understand what they did. Well, sure I know what they did. I know all things. I saw it. I was there. So we should pray. Especially right now, somebody may be on your mind. Their names come up in your head. Their faces come up. And you're irritated. As I said, this is what works for me. First and foremost, I have to confess to God that I have sinned against you because I have an unforgiving spirit. The next thing I need to do is pray for them. What Jesus say to do for your enemies and those who persecute you and use you? Pray for them. I had a preacher a long time ago tell me this way, it's kind of hard to stay mad at somebody if you're praying for God to bless them. Now, you can pray and tell God, this person has hurt me, they've done this, but I choose to forgive them. And I want to release them right now. They don't owe me a thing. I want to let this go. So you choose to forgive. And it's a struggle. And you can tell God that. I'm really having a problem with this, but I choose to obey you and I choose to forgive. The third thing is when the bad feelings return, and they will. Now you're going to think this is name it and claim it, but I think this is scriptural. Paul says we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So here's what you do. You pray, you say, I'm sorry that I have been not willing to forgive, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to forgive this person. And those hard thoughts come, you rebuke those thoughts. Paul said, you take them captive. You can say, I refuse to entertain those thoughts. I have forgiven that person. Next time they come around, same thing. Nope. I am not going to dwell on that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have forgiven this person. I'm not holding this over them anymore. And you know what? It gets a little easier every time. By easier, I mean you notice the feelings are less and less. I'm not saying you're trying to talk yourself into it, but I believe in confessing God's word. I made a commitment to God, and I take this thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. What Jesus say? Be merciful. So I am lining up with what my Lord told me, and I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to be merciful. You let it go. Well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, that's probably true. But when the hateful thoughts and the resentful thoughts and the you owe me come up, let it go. Can you or I pray as Jesus said to pray? Can we say, God, I want you to forgive me exactly the same way I forgive other people? It might make us back up a little bit and go, well, what do you mean, God? There's some other people I need to forgive. I think that that's more than a fair command of God. When you think of how we offend Him, and He was willing to forgive. My gosh, my sins were stacked to heaven. I was an offensive, rude, crude, lewd dude. And when I called out to the Lord for mercy, He showed it to me. And something had happened to me after salvation, a while after, God started bringing up people in my mind that I hurt. And He said, you need to talk to that person. Or you need to write him a letter. Or you need to call him. You think that was easy? Mm-mm. But every time I obeyed, there was a release. And I found that when I hold a grudge, it hurts me. It affects my spiritual walk. It affects my fellowship with Christ. So Jesus said, blessed are those who are merciful. They will receive mercy. Christians, we should be the most forgiving and merciful people that walk this earth. In the light of the mercy that we've received. God said when He forgives our sins, He throws them over His back. He doesn't remember them anymore. I have a lot more peace of mind when I'm able to do that. And I've learned that when I want to forgive, as I said, the best thing for me to do is when the feelings come back, when the thoughts come back, is just say, no, I've forgiven that. I'm not hanging on to that. I refuse to give that any ground. And there's a peace that comes with that. We've been shown a great mercy. And God in turn says, now as my child, you show mercy. Especially in the household of faith. Is it easy? No. I've never read anywhere God said, hey, it's easy. You think about God as a God of justice. I read you that. He said, I don't clear the guilty. But then we'll see him turn around and forgive. He's the God of second chances and third and fourth. And he says, if you're going to be my child, you're going to be my people, then you need to be willing to do the same thing for those that sin against you. Would you stand with me this morning? Nowhere, as I said, have I read when we're commanded to forgive those that injure us, especially terrible injuries, traumatic things that stay with you all your life, nowhere does it say it's easy. But we are commanded to do it. Corrie Ten Boom shared in her book, she was teaching a meeting and she looked out and there was a German sitting there after the war and she recognized him. He's one of the guards in the camp Auschwitz that she'd been in. And her dad insisted that her and her sister speak German. They were Dutch, but they also spoke German. And she said they would strip search the women and she could understand the lewd comments they were making in German and hated them. And she said when she saw the guy, this wrath, sickness just come up in her. And she thought, I'll avoid him. And at the end of the teaching session, he walked right up to her. And he said, I don't know if you remember me, but I was a guard at this camp. And she said, yeah, I remember. And he said, I have since became a Christian, and I wanted to ask you, please forgive me. And she said, in her mind, she said, God, I can't. And the Lord said, you must. And she said, I remembered a passage in Romans that said the love of God has been poured out into the heart of his children. And she said, can you love him through me? And she reached out and took his hand and said, I forgive you, brother. And Corrie said, this weight just come off of her, this peace. She let go of that hate and that wrath and that resentment. But when she first started talking about it, she choked on the very thought of it. I don't even want to talk to this guy. I'm going to try to get around him. Mercy isn't easy, but mercy's commanded. Forgiveness is commanded. And as I say, when you find it hard to forgive, pray. Pray for the person. Pray blessing, not that they fall down a flight of stairs. Pray a blessing. God, you open their eyes. Father, I'm so thankful for the truth of your word, even though it stings sometimes. And Lord, I pray today that if any of us here are harboring unforgiveness against anyone, that you will bring it to the forefront of our minds. Lord God, that we might deal with it and repent and forgive. Help us through your Holy Spirit to do this, Lord. I ask a blessing on everyone that's here today. Be with them through the week. Bring them back safely next week. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.